He's the director of the Office of Divine Worship, so he knows a thing or two about the faith. It's Monsignor Gerard O'Connor.
Another week and another opportunity to discuss the liturgical life with Monsignor Gerard O'Connor. Monsignor is the director of the Office of Divine Worship for the Archdiocese of Portland, also the rector at the beautiful St. Mary's Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, also in Portland. The Office of Divine Worship issues a newsletter with hope to provide news on liturgical topics and events. Of course, the February issue is available. And Monsignor O'Connor with me today to talk about some of those articles. Monsignor, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Brenda. Good morning.
Well, Monsignor, we are just partway through February, but already our sights are set ahead. Ash Wednesday, just a couple of weeks away. It's coming up on March 2nd. Now, you have a few articles in the newsletter to kind of prepare us and get us ready and remind us of our obligations for Lent. So let's start with Ash Wednesday. You have an article about the distribution of ashes. Tell our listeners what they can expect this year.
Yes. So in 2020, I think when the pandemic started, the Vatican issued some instructions about how ashes were to be distributed. And so in those days, I suppose people were thinking that the COVID could be transmitted through surfaces and things. So they said, don't do what you do in America, which is touch the forehead with the ashes. In other parts of the world, in Europe specifically, they don't do that anyway. They sprinkle ashes on the crown of the head.
Okay.
Whereas in America, we picked up this habit, and I don't know where we got it from, but and people like it, I think, because they complained when we didn't do it the last 2 years. So we went to the European way of doing things of sprinkling ashes on the crown of people's heads. So this year, the Vatican has, as we speak now, has not issued any instructions about the distribution of ashes. And I think because we know that surfaces are not involved in the spread of COVID. Therefore, so the Archbishop has determined that he's going to leave it to the discretion of the pastor to see which way he wants to distribute ashes. So you can do it with the European style of sprinkling them on the crown of the head, or use the sort of dampened ashes where we make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the person. I know a lot of people prefer that way, but we're going to leave it to the discretion of the pastor to see, to make sure he makes the decision about what's the safest or most practical for him.
Okay. Would it be appropriate, or would it for people to try to find out ahead of time how their pastor is going to distribute and then make a decision? Or does this fall into a line of, well, we need to be obedient to the thought of our own pastor?
Yeah, no, I think that it's the pastor's decision how he wants to administer the ashes. The ashes are a sacramental, let's face it, at the end of the day. So it's not necessary for salvation. So if you turn up for a church on Ash Wednesday and you don't want to have your ashes on your forehead and that's the way they're doing it, then sit it out. That's all I'd say. Someone's got to make a decision about how this is done, and once that decision is made, if you don't feel comfortable with it, then as I say, I would don't go up for the ashes
and just be prayerful
about
it.
Monsignor
O'Connor is with me today because we are talking about the February newsletter from the Office of Divine Worship. And some of those articles are preparing us for this Lenten season. Of course, it begins March 2nd. One of the pillars of Lent, of course, has to do with fasting. And there are requirements as far as days of abstinence and days of fasting and the ages you need to be in order to observe those. And you go through those in one of your articles. Kind of remind our listeners what the requirements are and what we are expected to do as faithful Catholics.
Yeah, so during Lent, the big thing is the abstinence on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. That's where everybody over the age of 14 up until 65 is asked to abstain from meat on those days. However, during Fridays during Lent is a tradition where we abstain from meat anyway. So that's a nice tradition to keep, but we're not, bound by that. But a lot of people do that anyway, have meatless Fridays throughout the year.
Absolutely.
I mean, in our rectory, we look forward to our grilled cheese and soup on Fridays so we don't have any meat, So I think it's a nice tradition to keep is to keep a, Friday is a sort of fast day, is a simple meal day rather than, go out and have roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, this sort of stuff. So, yeah. So they're the rules for Lent, but I think that's a spirit of Lent anyway, isn't it?
Right.
If you're doing the bare minimum, just ticking the boxes of just doing what the church tells you, it's not in the spirit of having a Lenten experience, you know. We should do a bit more every year. We should do something a little bit different, something to focus our minds on this beautiful, you know, penitential season in preparation for the celebration of the resurrection.
And then remind our listeners, what does that mean to have a day of fasting?
Well, to have a day of fasting, it means to just sort of have one main meal and perhaps two other meals that sort of half meals that wouldn't make a full meal. So that's what we say. But again, it depends on who you are and your age and what you can do. I mean, I know people that will just not eat on Fridays during Lent or perhaps another day, just complete fast, just have water. And other people will have bread and water, you know, things like this. So everybody's a little bit different. But I mean, again, the sort of minimum is, you know, just to have those one full meal, two half meals on a day of fasting during Lent.
As we journey through the Lenten season and as we come across and we come up to Holy Week, beautiful traditions in our faith. Of course, we know that we attend the Holy Thursday celebration, the washing of the feet. And of course, Good Friday and all the Fridays of Lent have the Stations of the Cross. And of course, the Good Friday Mass. And then leading into Saturday and of course, Easter Sunday. Another beautiful tradition in our Catholic faith during Holy Week, Tenebrae.
Yeah, this has become very popular over the last few years. Tenebrae is the office, divine office that is used on the days of Holy Week in the old breviary. And it's very beautiful. It's always it was said at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning by the monks in a monastery somewhere. So what people have done is that they've sort of adapted that to be a liturgy that is often celebrated on the Wednesday of Holy Week. It's sort of like a you know, building us up for the Triduum. It's sort of like, you know, getting us in the mood, if you like, for the sacred Triduum of Good Thursday and, you know, through Holy Saturday. So it's a combination of psalms and readings. The readings are usually from St. Augustine and from St. Paul. And so there's some song in it, there's some reading, there's some quiet time, there's, you know, it's a very beautiful thing. And the thing is to the church is sort of dimmed, and we have these 15 candles that are lit, and every time there's a liturgical action, one of the candles is extinguished. So at the end of the service, there's just one candle left, and that is removed from the sanctuary, and that represents Christ, you know, dying on the cross. And then when that's removed from the sanctuary, everybody bangs on their table with a book or in their pew to represent the sort of thunder of Mount Calvary, you know, on the day. And then that light is brought back into the church and left in the candelabra until everybody leaves in silence. It's quite meaningful. There's music, there's sights, there's readings, there's candles, there's, you know, darkness, the shadow. It's a very moving service, and I'd recommend. We're having it at the cathedral at 7 o'clock on Wednesday of Holy Week. I'd recommend anybody who's not been to a Tenebrae service to come along. It's the people who came last year remarked how beautiful it was. Because often we just go to church and we just go to Mass.
Right.
You know, but there are so many other parts of Catholic liturgy that we miss out on. And this is one of them. And it only happens once a year, but it's very beautiful.
Oh, I look forward to that. I have not been to a Tenebrae service, but... Oh, Monsignor, I might see you there on Holy Week.
Great.
I so appreciate your time today and all that you do there at the Office of Divine Worship. Before we go, will you please end us in prayer?
In the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, give us your grace and send your Holy Spirit to be with us that we may celebrate our Lenten observances with vigor and devotion. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And again, Monsignor Gerard O'Connor is the director of the Office of Divine Worship. I will be sure to add a link to where you can find the article that we just talked about in the newsletter. You're going to find the link on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com.